burden down with sin. The happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. When at last I finally nailed the timber filled my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around me, saved my soul. is free in thee. When justice called for a payment for sin, no one worthy could be found among men. But the precious Son of God, with the cross and thorny crown, paid the debt with the blood of the Lamb. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Free from sin, free to live, now I am. And it reads on the page where my sins were written down. Paid in full.
Chapter number 5, so we're going to look for just a little while. I was in chapter number 3 this morning, and tonight, 2 Kings chapter number 5. I love these passages. Man, it's exciting. You can read through this in the historical setting side of the books, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. If you get by some of those names, man, it's all right. But sometimes you haven't pronounced that. It's a good time to click on KJV audio and let it play. But there ain't nobody that does that with a southern drawl. It's one of those guys from over in Great Britain or something. Or like Yankees that pronounce all that stuff. So sometimes that helps me pronounce some of those names. But they got that accent, you know. But anyhow, 2 Kings chapter number 5. I don't think there's too many names here too difficult to look at. This evening, this is where the Lord centered our heart. I hope something be said or done to be an encouragement to help to you. Felt like this morning, man, I couldn't get the message out like I wanted to. But several said they got some help, and I praise the Lord for that. And it helped me, I know that. But I hope it was clear this morning. And tonight, we want to be clear as well. I hope God will help me articulate what He's placed on our heart for this hour. God has a lot to say in His Word anytime you open it up. Doesn't matter where you land at, if you're in the Old Testament or the New. But tonight, 2 Kings chapter number 5, so we're going to take our text. And I'm probably going to be saying a lot in between before we even start. So we're going to go ahead and pray. Most of the time I read the Scripture and then pray, but we're going to back it up a little bit tonight. So let's pray. Father, we come, God, in Your presence, Lord, again this evening. We sure do love You. Thank You, Lord, for the good day, God, You give to us just for the health and strength You've allowed us to be back. Lord, I know there's some that love to be here, but Lord, just because of physical ailments and other issues, Lord, they're unable to be here tonight. Father, I pray that You'd help them where they are. We thank You for the means that we have to reach a lot of folks by way of the telephone and also the live stream, the Facebook and all that, the CD ministry, radio. I pray, God, You'd minister to hearts tonight. Lord, if You don't come help us, if You don't help me, Lord, to relay what You placed on our heart, it'll be all in vain. I pray that You'd speak to every heart. I pray for the child of God that needs a touch this evening. I pray above all, if there's one that's lost, never been saved. God, I beg You, please, Lord, would You deal with that heart. Lord, help somebody tonight. Lord, You're the only one that can do it. I can't. Lord, I pray that You'd use Your servant for a little while. Let me decrease now that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Lord, again, I confess publicly that I'm nothing. You are everything, and I ask You to meet every need now in Jesus' name and all God's people said. Amen. But tonight we're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter number 5. Taking a text here, as many of you will remember as a child, maybe even Vacation Bible School, the account and the story of Naaman. We're going to be looking at that tonight, and I hope the Lord will help us to apply some principles to our own heart and our life. But I want you to notice here, we're going to read several verses, and I don't believe I'm going to read the whole chapter. We'll come close to it, but not all of it. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And the Bible said here in 2 Kings chapter 5, And verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. That last phrase in verse number 1 really defines the life of Naaman. Now, when you look at this text here, we understand 2 Kings chapter number 5. Basically, Naaman gains a ministry while Gehazi loses his ministry. Now, Gehazi was a servant to Elisha. Now, later on, you'll see where he come back, and he coveted some things in his heart, and he took a bribe. And as a result of that, he was finished in his service unto Elisha and unto the Lord. But old Naaman, he had a ministry in and of himself when he went back down into the Syrian camp. But we start off here in verse number 1, and you'll see a great man by the name of Naaman is identified in verse 1. He's identified this way. The Bible said that he's the captain of the host of the king of Syria. In other words, he's second in command to Ben-Hadad of Syria. He's the king, and here's old Naaman second in command. He's the general, if you will. The Bible said he was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. There's a lot that is said about Naaman, but he's identified as a great man in verse number 1. Then you got a great comparison, or the flip side, in verse number 2. Notice what the scripture said. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, what the Syrians would do, that's one of those heathen nations that God would use as a chastening hand against his people. When they backslid on God, God would send in a heathen nation to come in and to oppress the people. Well, the Syrians had come in, and they had took the best of the land, and evidently they took some women and some children. And here's one of these little maids that has been brought down into Syrian captivity, and she lands in the house of Naaman. That wasn't by accident. That wasn't by happenstance. No, that was a providential hand of God. God placing his witness, even in a foreign country, down in Syria, to be a witness of the goodness of God. And you'll see a great man by the name of Naaman in verse number 1. But in verse number 2, by comparison, you'll find a little maid. Ain't that what it calls her? The Bible said she was a little maid. But look at verse number 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, evidently, Naaman and his wife had been pretty good to this little maiden that has been taken captive out of the land of Israel. But this little girl, we don't know how old she was, but she had enough remembrance, and she had enough knowledge, Brother Brandon, that she remembered the man of God. She remembered the prophet of God. She remembered Elisha. So evidently, they had treated her well, and she's seen Naaman struggle with the issues of leprosy. And she said, man, and I'm paraphrasing, if we could just get him back to the land of Israel, he's a man up there. The prophet of God Elijah, he could help him. So we see sort of what's going on right here, and understand that Naaman had leprosy. And this is going to begin, we're beginning the account of where Naaman was healed. And there's a great parallel. There's a great application to Naaman's account and his story. And when a sinner gets saved, when you think about leprosy, it doesn't say that leprosy is sin, but it is likened unto it. And the progression of leprosy is crystal clear, I believe, in relationship to sin. For example, we could go back into the Old Testament law, the first 5 books, of course, being the Pentateuch, and the book of Leviticus, one of the most complex and difficult books to look through when you look at all the sacrifices and the different things that are laid out. But it lists some things about leprosy. What do we know according to the Bible? And I'm not interested in books and different things, but I am interested in what the Bible said about leprosy. And as I begin to read these, I want you to think about how that applies to how sin works and how sin is today and the progression of it. When it comes to leprosy, first of all, we know that leprosy runs deeper than the skin. You might just see that mark of leprosy on the skin, but it runs a whole lot deeper than that. Well, how do we know that? Well, the Word of God tells us that in Leviticus chapter number 13 and verse number 3. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. A lot of folks may look and you say, well, we see that sin on the outside. No, it runs deeper than the skin. And that's what sin does. That's what leprosy is. There's a great similarity between the two. So we know according to the Bible that leprosy runs deeper than the skin. Not only that, leprosy spreads rapidly, just like sin does. How do you know? Listen to this now, verse number 7 of Leviticus 13. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. Notice it spread much abroad. You see, that leprosy not only run deeper than the skin, it spread rapidly. Now, ain't that just a picture of sin? But we ain't done. And we're dealing with the negative side. We're getting some good stuff in a minute, hopefully, but just get this. So leprosy runs deeper than the skin, just like sin does. Leprosy spreads rapidly, just like sin does. Leprosy defiles, as sin does. The Bible said, Leviticus 13 and verse number 45, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. You know, a lot of folks say, well, man, we didn't know much about quarantining until the plague came back several hundred years ago, and then during COVID. No, God's the one that instituted this back in the book of Leviticus. Sure did, quarantining. Wearing a mask, what do you think he's talking about above the lip? He's talking about covering that up. God's the one instituted that. They say, oh, well, God's got to catch up with science. No, science still trying to catch up with God. And that's exactly right. And we see that here, that leprosy defiles. They were to shave their head till they were shorn, and to cover their upper lip, and shall cry if they seen somebody unclean and unclean. They were to be quarantined. Why? Because leprosy defiled. And that's exactly what sin does. There's a lot of folks, and the devil will tell you, the world will tell you, the flesh, the world, and the devil will tell you this in modern culture. And so we just go ahead and just live as you please. But you got to understand, sin, just like leprosy, runs deeper than the skin. It spreads rapidly. It'll do the same thing for you. And it is defiling. But it also, we know this, leprosy isolates. Now, the Bible said in verse 46 of Leviticus 13, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. So here's a man not only sick, but now or a woman, now they're isolated from the camp. They got to go out. On the outside, somebody comes near, they got to holler, unclean, unclean. Why? Because they are defiled. And we see that leprosy isolates, and sin will do the same thing. And there's pleasures in sin for a season. According to the book of Hebrews, Moses chose Christ over the pleasures of sin for a season. And nowadays, a lot of folks like to choose sin. Just remember, you're going to pay the price. Whatever you reap, you're going to sow. Or whatever you sow, you're going to reap one of these days. Galatians 6, that's the principles, the laws of sowing and reaping. But we know this. Now, I got one more point on this, then we'll move on. Leprosy runs deeper than the skin. Sin does the same thing. Leprosy spreads rapidly as sin does. Leprosy defiles, so does sin. Leprosy isolates as sin does. But we know this, leprosy was only fit for the fire. Now don't miss that. Leprosy was only fit for the fire. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, in Leviticus 13 and verse number 52, he shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or anything of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt in the fire. It was so defiling that all of that was fit for the fire. Notice verse 57 of Leviticus 13. And if it appears still in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of the skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. Now somebody says, well, man, what in the world is a warp and a woof? A warp is that vertical entwinement. The woof is the horizontal thing. It makes up the grid pattern of the garment. Didn't matter if it's in the in the warp or the woof, like wolf pack, W-O-O-F, didn't matter either one. It had to be cast into the fire because the leprosy was only fit for the fire, just like sin. You see, the lost sinner is on his way to a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. But ain't you glad God made a way? God made a way in Naaman's situation. God made a way for me. God made a way for you. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But God made a way. And faith is the cure. Here is old Naaman, and we understand he is a leper. He's a captain. He's a man of valor. He's got great accomplishments. He's got a lot of things going for him. But the last several words of verse number 1 said he was a leper, and that trumped everything else, all of his accolades, all of his accomplishments. Here he is. He's got this loathsome disease that not only is deeper than the skin, it spreads rapidly, it defiles, it isolates him, and it's only fit for the fire. Surely there's a solution. Absolutely there is. God chose in his providential hand many years before. We don't know what the time frame was. But on one of his excursions up in the land of Israel, when they overtook the land, he took this little maid and brought her back down, put her in her in his house. And there she was servant unto his wife. And she stayed in there and she served. And God put her there for such a time as this. Sort of like Esther. When here's Naaman that needs something. He's probably, with a man of his accomplishment, he's tried all the doctor's things down there in Syria. He's tried the best of the best. He's probably tried homemade remedies, and nothing is working. But that little maiden, the Bible said, as young as she was, she remembered the days when she was in Israel. She remembered the touch of God being on a man by the name of Elisha. Boy, if we could just get him, if we could get my master unto Elisha, he could help him. Look at verse number 4. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Now keep in mind here the king, Naaman is such an asset and such a resource to Ben-Hadad down in Syria. He wants him well. He's accomplished. He's got victory after victory after victory. He's a man of valor. And the king wants him well, so he's going to send a letter and send him up into Israel. But he's going to send some money with him, because here's what he's thinking, Brother Harold. He might be able to get healed, but he's going to have to pay a price. It's going to cost him something. He's going to have to work for it. He's going to have to give something in order to be healed and set free. Well, verse number 6, the Bible said, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And the king of Israel, he sat back, he said, man, I don't have that power. Here the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, he's sending his captain up here. Man, there must be something else up, because I'm not God. I cannot heal him. Oh, but listen, look at verse number 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now just picture with me for just a moment. Oh, Elisha was the one that was plowing with those 12 yoke of oxen. There he is, and he's plowing in the field, and he burned all that stuff up. We would say he's a country boy. Well, here comes old Naaman, the general, second in command of Syria, riding up on these chariots, and all the pomp and all the prestige coming. You'd say, well, man, if somebody like the president or the vice president or the general of the army or whoever comes to your house, man, you're going to be ready to come out and receive such a man of that stature. What Elisha do? Watch this now. Look at verse number 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Now, Naaman come to his house. Naaman didn't even get out of the recliner. Elisha didn't even get out of the recliner, if they had one. He didn't get out of the hammock. He didn't pull up his seat from behind the breakfast table, man. Here's a man with great accolades, great accomplishment, great achievement, standing at the door with horse and chest. He's come to see Elisha needing help. And the man of God said, he sent a messenger unto him saying, go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now keep in mind, the mindset of Naaman as he's traveling would have took him quite some time to get up there. He's traveling about 100 miles or so at least. So he gets up there, and he's thinking, I've got all this gold. I've got these chains of clothes. I'm going to give him that money, and he's going to snap his fingers. He's going to touch that place on me where I got that leprosy, where it's at, and he's going to heal me. You see, he was thinking different than what God was going to do, and he was thinking different what Elisha's going to do. Elisha didn't even come outside. A man of that caliber. Look at verse, and he tells him to go down to the river and wash 7 times. But look at verse 11. How Naaman handled that. You know, the Bible said, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He goes on to say this, verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? So he's thinking about his hometown back in Syria. Man, they got cleaner water than the Jordan, old muddy Jordan River. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Verse 13. And the servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? In other words, they're saying, look, Naaman, he didn't ask you to do something impossible. He didn't ask you to do something incredible. He just asked you to perform a simple task. Go down to the Jordan River and wash 7 times. Don't you want to get well? It's worth a try. Go down and do it. Well, verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, you know what the cure was? It wasn't money. He couldn't buy it. Couldn't be purchased. There wasn't an exchange of clothes. And later on, old Gehazi, he went back and he thought, man, I'm going to get some of that. And sure enough, he had his ministry taken away. And if you read on later on, Naaman went back down into the land of Syria. And there he became a witness for Jehovah God. He sure did. Because his life had been transformed. His life had been changed. That's exactly what Christ does when he saves us, by the way. But the cure is faith. Faith was the cure. It was a simple act of obedience. God told him by the man of God, through the word of God, to go down to the Jordan River and to wash 7 times. He didn't want to go in the beginning because he had another plan. Surely God's going to heal me another way. Listen, we measure up to God's demands. That's what we're to follow. Everybody, it's sort of like a nose on our face. Everybody's got one. But you got to follow God's plan. You got to follow God's direction. There's a lot of folks heading down that broad road. They're attempting to get to heaven on their own way. Friend, you'll never get there. You got to go God's way. Can't go another way. You got to go and you got to trust the Lord, and faith is a cure. The Bible said there in verse number 10, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Now, there's a miracle in the result. The Bible said his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I mean, here's a man, Brother Brandon, a warrior. That's been in battles, one after another, conquest. You know, he probably had calluses on his hands, probably had scars, probably even being out in the sun, had scales maybe even on his arms, especially with the leprosy and all that stuff, maybe even on his face. The Bible said when he washed in that water 7 times, he's like a little child. You say, you really believe that, preacher? Absolutely, I do. Because the Bible said it, and I believe it 100%. That's exactly what happened. But get this. That's sort of a fulfillment of Scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse number 3, verily I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Boy, the evidence that Naaman got the goods was, man, here he is. He's been clean. There's an instant change. And boy, that's what Jesus will do for you too, by the way. You won't be perfect, I can tell you that, but as far as having your sins forgiven, thank God, there'll be a transformation. You think about this. we understand that his condition changed. How do you know? The Bible said he was clean. Ain't that what it said in verse number 14? It said his flesh came again like as unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Prior to that, he was unclean. According to the Word of God, that's what leprosy did. But he obeyed what the Word of God said. Remember, now today you say, well, wait a minute. Why don't God use prophecy? We don't need prophecy. We got the whole revealed Word of God in the canon of Scripture. They didn't have that back then. Yeah, they had parts of the Pentateuch. They had the law, but they didn't have the revealed Word of God. But God used those prophets to relay exactly the message that God wanted sent. And when they obeyed that, that's what activated the miracle. This was a miracle. That Naaman was cleansed, but it was all activated by faith upon the Word of God. Faith and obedience to what God has said, and his condition changed. I'll say this, his company changed. Look at verse 15. The Bible said in the last part of verse 14, here's his flesh, it's like a little child, he was clean, but verse 15, and he returned to the man of God. He and all his company came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servants. He's come to Elisha to pay him off. Here's the gold, here's the silver, here's the change of clothes. Listen, Elisha wouldn't take none of that. Now, Gehazi, he had a different story. You just read on, you'll find the rest of what took place in there. He was removed from the ministry, and old Naaman was placed into, basically, the ministry. But his company changed. Because he went down to the Jordan a little bit different, because he came to Samaria. He went from Samaria down to the Jordan River, probably 30-some miles. But he didn't go back home to Syria when he got cleansed. He came back to the man of God that wouldn't even take time to come outside. He just told him what to do. But now Naaman knows that, boy, that was right. He knows there's a God in heaven because he's seen the change. He understands his condition has changed, his company has changed, and he returns back there. It sort of reminds me of Luke 17. Remember the 10 lepers that Jesus cleansed? Luke chapter 17, verse 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, 10 were cleansed, but only one turned around and gave him thanks. I've often asked that question, which percent we in? We in the 10% that said, thank you, Lord, or we in the 90% that God blesses and meets the need and walks away and never says thanks? Well, Naaman was in that 10% crowd that returned back to the man of God. But listen, his condition changed, his company changed, even his confidence changed. Look at verse 15 again. The Bible said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. He didn't know that when he came to Samaria. And at first, man, he was sort of upset about having to go down to the old dirty Jordan River and get washed. But now his confidence has changed. He wasn't thinking about the gods down in Syria. He was thinking about the God in Israel that had just healed him. So his confidence has changed. Not only that, his craving has changed. Look at verse 17. Well, look at verse 16. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will not receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Here's a second in command down in Syria. Second in command to Ben-Hadad. No doubt they burnt sacrifice to all these little G gods. He said, look, I'm not doing that anymore. Why is that? He's got a different craving, man. He's got a different condition. He's got a different company. He's got a different confidence. And he's got a different craving. Why? Because God's made a difference in his life because he obeyed what the Word of God said. God will do the same thing for you and I today. Now, if I could preach on a thought, very simple thought, the introduction has been longer than the message. I'm going to preach on three things that are lost. Three things, the man who lost three things. Number one, we've done read, and it's all in reference to Naaman. Number one, Naaman lost his temper. He sure did. But he come down, he had a different thought process. Well, surely I got all this money. Surely he's going to touch me. He's going throw one of those anointed prayer cloths on me, man. One of those mantles and going to heal me. That ain't what he did. He came down. They said, hey, the Naaman's out here, the general, the captain of Ben-Hadad's army of Syria, Elisha. Elisha never moved. He sent his servant out there and told him to go down to the river, wash himself. And we understand that Naaman lost his temper. Look, we'll read it again in verse number 10. The Bible said, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. Here he is, he lost his temper, because he's upset. He didn't get his way. He's sort of throwing what you call those, one of those little tantrums, you know. He's throwing a hissy fit, if you will. We've all heard that at some point. If you ain't, well, if you need an interpretation of that, I'll explain it, or Christy will explain it to you after service one. But anyhow, Naaman lost his temper. Elisha didn't even bother to come out again to meet old Naaman, a man of accomplishment, a man of accolades, a man of achievement. And Elisha gave him simple orders that a child could follow. And it wasn't complicated at all, but he was wroth. And you could say that one of the things that Naaman lost was he lost his temper. There's a lot of people get upset when you tell them, hey, you got to trust Christ. If you want to go to heaven, you got to go God's way. They say, well, you're too narrow-minded. I believe I'll just choose my own way. But listen, nobody's going to hold a gun to your head and say, hey, you're going to have to receive Christ. You've got your own choice. You got your own option. You got a free will. And some people get upset and they lose their temper. But man, I beg you, don't lose your temper, man. You just need to lose your pride and come to Christ and let him forgive you of all your sin. And then you can go to heaven one of these days, not based on what you do, but based on what he did in act of obedience to his word. You believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to save your soul, and he'll do that. Somebody said, well, man, I can't see God. And a lot of little kids are coming and say, man, how do I talk to him, preacher? Listen, just like I'm talking to you, just like you talk to me, you talk to him. Yeah, man, that's how you do it. He's there and he's listening. He's near every one of us. Praise the Lord. But here, he lost his temper. Not only did he lose his temper, the second thing he lost his pride. He lost his pride. Look at verse 13. The Bible said, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean, because Old Naaman said, well, man, I'd been better off going back down there to Pharpar or what are those, Banya, those rivers of Damascus. They're cleaner rivers. I could have went in the river 7 times down there and have been fine. But you know what he had to do? He lost his temper at first, but his servants encouraged him. Listen, he didn't actually do nothing too difficult. I mean, it's pretty simple. A child could understand. That's the way salvation is, by the way. The simplicity of the gospel, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This ain't rocket science, man. Come to Christ, have your sins forgiven. But you know what he had to lose? Same thing you and I have to lose. Old thing called pride. Hey, he lost his temper, but now he's lost his pride. For the Bible said in verse number 14, then went he down. Here's the second in command. I've said it a couple times, but I want you to get it. That rides in pomp and prestige and power, pulls up to the driveway and opens the garage door there with the horse and the chariots, and Elisha didn't even come out. And here's a man that's used to giving orders. Oh, yeah. He's the captain. He's barking orders. Hey, this 100 go this way. The spears go this way. Sword, shield, archers, you do this, you do that. He's used to giving orders, and now he's got to take some orders. Brother Harold, he'd have never went down there and got in that pool if he didn't lose his pride. A lot of people will never get saved until you lose that pride. And understand, I can't do this. I can't go to heaven on my own. You're going to have to swallow that thing. Here's a man that lost his temper, but he lost his pride, and he went down and he washed himself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 lets us know, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. What Naaman originally saw was something normal. Simple washing became abnormal. What he saw as natural became supernatural. By going down and washing. But in order for him to get down there, he had to lose his pride. So there's two things he's lost. He lost his temper because He had a different thought process of how he was going to get healed. There's a lot of folks think they got a different process how they're going to get help, even how or how they're going to get saved first. But then after salvation, they got a different plan how God's going to do this. And God may have a different plan. But he lost his temper. Then he lost his pride. He obeyed what the man of God said. But then finally, he lost his leprosy. Sure did. He lost his temper. He lost his pride. But he finally lost his leprosy. Hey, no, look at verse 14. We've already read it, but let's read it again. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times. Of course, seven in numerology is the number of God. I always love hitting that six as the number of man. Man always comes up one short of God. But seven is the number of God. And the Bible said he went down, dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. How'd that happen? Was there something supernatural in that water? No, it's just an act of obedience to what God's word has said. Now, at first, he got mad. He lost his temper. But then his servants encouraged him, and he swallowed that old pride. He lost that thing, went down and obeyed what God said, went down there the seventh time. He come up, and his skin looked like little river skin, like a little child, like a little baby. Here, this old rough and tumble man, he's got smooth skin now. Why? Because he lost his leprosy, because he listened to what God said. And understand this, Naaman, now get this, according to the words of Jesus, Naaman demonstrated more faith than anybody else in Israel at that time. You say, hey, no, listen to the words of Jesus, Luke chapter 4 and verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, and that is Elisha the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. He's the only one. Why is it? Well, he wasn't of the Jewish lineage. He was a Gentile. He was alienated. He was away from the commonwealth of Israel. Yet he got help because he had faith and he believed what God said. Faith still activates that miracle. We said it again this morning. We say it quite often. That's the ticket. That's the key. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that must come unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you know unbelief will defile, it'll destroy, and it'll doom an individual, it'll doom a nation, it'll doom a marriage, it'll doom a church. That's what unbelief will do for you. Amen. Many Jews met during the days of Elisha to worship at Dan and Bethel. Remember they had those golden calves. Boy, the power was all around them. Elisha was there during that day. God's power was there. Elijah had been there. But they never experienced the mighty power of God that Naaman, a Gentile, a heathen, an enemy to the nation of Israel with the Syrians, experienced because he simply believed the word of God. He lost his temper. He lost his pride. And then he lost his leprosy. Can I just say this as Sister Savannah comes? A few things we can consider by this. Did you know that one wrong messed up all that Naaman had right? What was that wrong? That was leprosy. He was a captain. He was a leader in the army. Had great achievements, accomplishments, accolades. But the one thing that messed him up was leprosy. Boy, if you're not careful, that'll be the thing that'll mess you up. Never understand. The second thing you need to get to, never underestimate the power of what somebody may consider a little witness. Because here was a little maiden, verse number 2 of chapter number 5, that had been planted down to the land sometime earlier. We don't know if it's months, don't know if it's been years. She'd been there some time, and God put her there for such a time as this. And she became the tool that got Naaman up into Israel. And Israel, you read about Naaman later on. Naaman come back. He said, man, I'm not going to offer sacrifice to none of these little G-gods anymore because I know the God of Israel. And you don't think he went back telling everybody? Everybody knew when he left he had leprosy, but when he come back, man, he had skin like a baby's butt. He sure did. And it was smooth, and it was new, and he had a change, and he became a mouthpiece for God. So one wrong messed up all that Naaman had right because he was a leper. Never underestimate the power of a simple witness. Can I say Jesus can cure when there's been a problem for years? Everybody get that? Amen. Jesus is still the answer. He's still the cure for a problem that's been underlying for years. You see, it just takes faith. It takes obedience, believing, all right, God, this is what you want me to do. We see that unfolding. The Bible said that Naaman was clean. That didn't happen overnight. This has been going on for a long time. But here's the key, right here, the last one I want you to get. Naaman had to meet God on his terms. You and I are going to have to meet God on his terms as well. He told him to go wash in Jordan 7 times. Now, Naaman was only healed after he was humbled. Don't miss that. He didn't get healing until he got humbled, because he'd have never got healed if he'd have never been humbled. If he'd have went all the way back to Syria and he could have dunked in that water 180 times, he'd have never got clean. He had to do what God told him to do. He had to meet God on his terms, and we got to do the same thing. You know, I think about this sometimes. Now, I'm trying to quit. You know, oftentimes you take your vehicle, Brother Harold, if that vehicle gets dirty, you take it, or somebody comes and gets it, and you take it to that place, and they're getting ready to wash it. And you turn that thing over unto them. You submit that to them because it needs cleaning, and they get it took care of. Now, you may go to the hire shop, and Sister Kim, Sister Maddie may work on you. And when you sit down in that chair, you submit unto them. You do. I don't have to worry about it. Some of y'all do. And you say, well, you sit down and you submit unto them because you need that took care of. Somebody comes into your house, you let them come in. They do their cleaning if you do that. And you allow them to come in and to take care of the problem. And they clean and they do this and they do that. But now listen, right here it is. How many times do we come to the house of God and we need cleaning ourselves? Now, we'll turn our car over, we'll turn our house over, we'll turn our hair over, whatever, get it washed, get it clean, submit to somebody else's authority. We'll come to the house of God in need of cleansing, and it's available to whosoever will. This is to the lost and the saved. Amen. Because we all pick up these spiritual parasites, even saved people walking through this walk of life. You're going to pick up things. Oh, I got this, preacher. Yeah, you got it all right. You're going to make a mess out of it. Amen. God said, cast your care upon me, for he careth for you. There's things I can't do. There's things that's impossible for me to do. There's things impossible for you to do. But when we come to him and we need something in our life, we bring to him, God, I need this. But if you got that mentality, oh, I got this, I got this, I got this, you'll never get any help. Somebody better help me tonight. You'll never get any help. Listen to me, sinner friend, you'll never get saved until you say, I'm lost. I can't save myself. God, I surrender unto you. You're going to have to swallow that pride. You're going to have to lose that thing. Now, you can get mad at me. You can lose your temper. But I encourage you to lose your pride so you can lose that leprosy and you can get healed and you can get cleansed. How about you, Christian friend? What's something that's been underlined for years maybe in your life? Oh, I got this, preacher. Oh, yeah, I got it worked out. Yeah, I bet you do. You better bring it to God. You better swallow that pride. Listen, you might lose your temper, but you better lose that pride so you can lose what hinders you like it did with Naaman. God still wants to. I understand it's Sunday night. I don't know the needs that are in this building, but I know this. Naaman got help because he believed what God said. And God said, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. As we stand all over the house, I'm done. Let's pray. Father, sure do love you. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege, opportunity, Lord, to share your word, God, one more time. Lord, I've done my best to empty myself the message of the hour. And God, I pray for that one tonight that may be here, may be listening. Never been saved, never been born again. God, I pray that tonight be the night. Somebody gives their heart and life. Pray somebody swallow that pride. Say yes to Jesus. Lord, help somebody to do that, I pray. I pray for that one that may have a mess on their job, may have a mess in a relationship, may have a mess in a lot of areas. They're trying to fix it on their own, Lord. I pray they'd swallow that pride and, Lord, seek your advice. Somebody probably thinks they got a plan. They're going to figure it out. They're going to work it out, but it's an impossibility. God, help folks not to lose their temper, but, Lord, help them to lose their pride so that they can get some help. Lord, you didn't heal Naaman until he was humbled. You told us in your word, but you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. God, help us to be humble today. meet every need, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If
you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.